I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
You know, time truly mattered when my dad would be out on the grill cooking the burgers or the brats. And, you know, he put on the burgers, and I can vividly remember he had 7 minutes on the timer before he had to flip those burgers. And when he pressed, you know, the start button, I had 7 minutes to bug him to, let's go play catch, let's go turn the football.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome to another exciting episode of The Dad Experience. Another great episode coming at you. Today we have authors on the show, father-son authors. We have Brian Becker, who's a corporate leadership and development expert, educator, and a nonprofit executive, and his son, Jeff. He is a co-founder of a nationally acclaimed basketball academy, Powerhouse Hoops. And together they've written a book, an outstanding book called Tender Lions. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Yeah. Well, we're going to get right at it, but we always start our show, and maybe we can do kind of a round robin. And Brian, if you want to take the answer first, and then Jeff, we always start our show with who lives with you at home? What is your household makeup?
Okay. So my wife, Kim, of almost 36 years, recently my adult daughter and her husband and my granddaughter moved back from San Diego. So they're living with us in Chicago just temporarily, and they'll be looking for an apartment shortly. And then
what kind of dog?
My dog, Maya, who's 12 years old. That's it.
All right.
Gotcha. Kind of a mutt. Most people think she's a pit bull, but I'm not sure.
She's right. A curly Jeff, tail, what about like you?
Pig.
I'm out here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. It's about 98 degrees right now. But I live with my fiance. We'll be married here in October, and we have two very lazy English bulldogs.
All right. So you guys are the authors of a book, Tender Lions. So what made you want to write this book and help build those father-sons relationships and become better parents by building those relationships? Sure.
Well, I'll start with that, guys. This is Brian, the dad. There are two major things that happened more than 15 years ago. One was I wasn't a good dad. On one side, it looked like everything was going well, but I had made a lot of bad decisions. I had work that I traveled too much. I partied too much. I got involved with pornography. I crossed a lot of boundaries. And eventually, one day, I was sitting in front of my family telling them that I had made a mess of my life. And I know what it's like to look into the eyes of my son, Jeff, and my wife and my daughter, and know that I broke their heart. And that's a bad place to be. And that's not where the story ends. I mean, here we are many years later, and we have a restored relationship, really thriving relationship. And so we thought that, it was a story worth telling. I also back then worked for an organization that helped start new nonprofit organizations and community programs by providing grants and resources around some of life's thorniest issues. I mean, gangs and domestic violence and hunger and refugees. And one day I had read many of those proposals, and I don't know what it was, whether it was my intuition or an angel or whatever, but I stood up at my desk and I said, my word, there are no fathers in any of these pictures. You know, there were just no healthy families, no healthy dads in any of those. And if there was a dad present, they were probably the destructive element in the picture. And then my mind flashed back years before when I thought, wow, I was one of those dads. And so we feel like we have a story to tell about how bad it was.
Well, kudos to you, first of all, for taking that step forward and going, you know, I have some things that I need to take care of to build this relationship. Was there anything in particular that made you decide, or just kind of just culminated and you decided that this was it? I have to make a change. I mean, I know you mentioned a little bit about your work, but was there anything else outside of that?
You know, Yeah. Oh, it was my conscience. I'm a person of faith, and you know, everybody thought I had my act together, and I was this great leader at home and in the community and my church. And I was looking in the mirror every morning and just sick of who I was seeing. And eventually, I said, "Enough is enough." And regardless of the consequences of that, I knew I wanted to be honest with my spouse and my kids about what had happened. I needed to restore my integrity, and I knew that it had to come at the hard price of telling the truth, mm-hmm. knowing that it would still be really hard.
And Jeff, how did you guys approach, you know, coming to this book, Tender Lines? Was it something you guys discussed, or was it just something that, you know, you had a good story to tell that you think could help other people? How did your dad come to you with this, and how did you start this? I mean, that's probably got to be a little bit intimidating and opening up a door to a lot of vulnerability.
Absolutely. And it was, I remember him, I think, or he called me and just said, "Hey, we're going to start a book. We're going to write a book about our story." And, you know, he's been hinting at wanting to do this for years. And so it wasn't really a big surprise. But on the other hand, we are both in professions, and I wouldn't even say professions. I think that we are truly passionate about trying to impact others' lives. And obviously mine has just been, I've been blessed to be able to use basketball as kind of a tool for life. But, you know, so being able to impact others, and for us, it started with ourselves. You know, if we can be vulnerable, if we can be, if we can tell our story and have compassion, empathy, and passion, even if we only help one family, even if we can mend one relationship, it was worth it to make sure that we're helping someone out there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you said, even if you can help one family, it seems to me, and people that I've interviewed or even come across myself in life, you know, I'm an educator by day. And even in coming across when people say helping one person, then you know that there's something there that's valuable, because it's not there for numbers. It's not there for the amount that you're going to gain or fame you're going to gain. It's the help and the message in there. So that's so great to hear. And so great that you guys were so courageous to talk about these uncomfortable situations, you know, that are out there. So when you, why do you think it's so important for us as parents? I know Brian, you hinted at a little bit with what your profession was early on, but why do you think it's so important to have these positive father-son relationships?
Well, that's a good question. Why is it important to have solid father-son relationships? It's been my personal experience as well as my professional experience that as boys grow up, the relationship to their dad is the most important relationship to determine how healthy they're going to be when they become a man, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, health-wise. They look to their dad. Even when it's not a healthy relationship, boys still look to their dads. They still want to see what am I going to be like? How should I act? And in writing the book, we did a lot of research, and we came up with some statistics. We didn't come up with them. We discovered data about what the state of father-son health is like in the United States today, and it's not a pretty mm-hmm. picture.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, being even in education, you see that on one end or the other. Jeff, why do you think for you as the son, why was it so important to you, and why did you feel the need to bring this book to the masses?
Again, I just think it goes back to there's so many people that are looking for help and they don't know where to start and they don't know how to start. I was just talking with a good friend just yesterday, and he kind of confided in me after reading the book. He just says, "Gosh," he goes, "none of us know how to communicate. And it starts with communication." And if, you know, and so for us, it was, let's just tell our story, you know, and let's just really put it out there of you know, everyone sees the outside perception of what things really are, but everyone has a story to tell. And if we could just say, hey, this is kind of rip off the Band-Aid and say, here we are, like it or not. You know, so for us, it was just, maybe this will help somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something that that's a reoccurring theme on our show. We hear it a lot from most of the folks that come on about communication. And it made me think of another question for either of you guys to answer. But, you know, with the expansion of technology and us being on our phones and being in screens and the access to all this information, do you think that's hurting or helping, you know, the cause? Because I'm assuming your guys' relationship, I mean, now obviously it's a little different, and that probably helps having that communication and the technology there. But and I don't know, you know, what age you were when you were living at home, if the internet was widely used or if the phones were where they are now. But do you think that's hurting or helping at all?
Whew, that's a loaded question.
Well,
I think there's good things there. I mean, obviously you guys living so far apart now, FaceTime's a great thing, but you know, when we're building those relationships, is it that great, or are there benefits to it? Do you guys think that, or?
I'm certain that I believe that technology is a great tool, and it does allow us to stay in touch. And at the same time, our research has just shown that the actual time that a father and a son sit side by side or face to face and talk over the last 20 years has gone down, down, down. And that the time that the average adolescent spends with their face in their phone, their laptop, their computer at school is going up and up. And social media is a pseudo form of communication. You know, a kid might say, I have 700 friends or 2,000 friends. The reality is only a handful of them are really friends of theirs. And so there's not a real emotional connection there. And one of the things that we see when kids or adults bury their heads in their social media is that they lose that ability to really have a true emotional connection with their kids and anyone else for that matter. So we've also seen that just because there's so many dads now that don't live with their kids in across the United States, average is about 25%. In some areas, the higher the level of poverty, the higher the fatherlessness goes. In some neighborhoods, more than 70% of boys don't live with their dads. Now, you couple that with the dads who are physically there, but emotionally absent because of workaholism, drugs, pornography, narcissism, whatever. You know, you look down any classroom, you know, and you see half the boys in there who don't have a solid relationship with their dad. And we know when they don't have a good relationship with their dad, it affects school attendance, grades, teen pregnancy, behavioral disorders, runaways, incarceration, suicide. When the boy doesn't have a solid relationship with his dad, all of these risk factors go up in their life. You know, if we categorize this as a medical issue, we'd call it an epidemic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I even heard something, I don't know, just recently, I don't know if it was on another podcast or what, but we're so, as a society, we're so gung-ho about let's not feed our kids sugar. Let's you know, reduce the intake on sugar. Let's healthy eating and stay away from smoking, vaping, and stay away from, you know, too much indulgence in all those things that were normal, but we don't look at our screen time and phone time. And I'm saying this now as we record a podcast, obviously, but, you know, we say that about those things, but we don't look at this as being some sort of an addiction too, as screen time and TV time. And how is that really, and I don't even know if we have enough data. I'm sure we have a lot, but I don't even know if we have enough data out there to really see those numbers and how they're going to affect the kids. Cause, you know, just me looking around, going out, you know, kids riding on escalators or going downstairs, their faces are buried in the phone, and I'm terrified of the day that there's an emergency and they're not looking up. So, right. I mean, I think it's just kind of turning off everybody to society and who knows what's going to happen. So hopefully we can start to see some balances or some work out there like we see with health initiatives and things. Maybe there's some sort of balance there. I don't think it's horrible, and I don't think it, you know, and technology is bad, but I think that we're so reliant on it that it can start to become a problem. So I think you kind of hit on it, and maybe Jeff, you could take the next one. But do you think as a society it's getting worse, the father-son relationships? Do you think it's pocketed into like maybe what your dad said about, you know, lower income areas? Do you think it's better in higher income areas, or do you think we're getting better? Do you think we're breaking down some of those barriers?
You know, it's interesting because what we're seeing with younger dads today in society is they're actually spending more time on average than dads of generations ago. It's great. It's awesome. We applaud that. You know, the larger picture isn't so positive like we've talked about. The socioeconomic class we've spoken about as well. I do worry for my own, you know, hopefully I will have children, and I do worry about what will society be like years from now, because we do know that depression is higher than ever. Suicide rates are higher than ever. And I do think a lot of it has to go with the filters or lack thereof of social media and their images. And it's a very scary place. But I also, there needs to be some education about that as well. And that's something that I don't see the educational system moving into right at this point. So it's a huge question mark, especially for me getting married, talking to my fiance about having kids and stuff like that. So it's very pressing in my world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know,
if I could add one thing to that.
Go ahead, Brian.
Adam, if I could add one Absolutely. Thing to that, is that we're seeing parents in general becoming more and more competitive. Mm-hmm. And so their kids are involved in more and more after school activities, sports, computer, language, arts. And children are, there's clear information on this, that kids are beginning to feel like when the parents are overly competitive, they feel like the only way they can show their parents that they're worthy of their love is by performing. So they have to be the captain of the football team or in the National Honor Society. And if you have a performance culture, then you got to perform well. So if you don't perform well, then are you worthy of that love? And that's a tough thing. And that's a really tough thing to have a kid who thinks that their identity is based on how well they perform.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a great place for us to take a short break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can find our podcast and many other parenting podcasts on their app that you can get at the Google Play Store or the Apple iTunes Store. Just search Parents On Demand. And stick around after our break to hear about another great parenting podcast that if you like the Dad Experience, we're sure you're going to like. So stick around after the break. We're talking more with Jeff and Brian about their book, Parenting and Building Those Relationships with our between the Fathers and Sons. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. I'm here with authors Brian and Jeff of Tender Lions. Excellent book, excellent folks. Really, really had a great conversation before the break, and just ready to dive right back into some more of those topics about father-son relationships. But you know, you mentioned it a little bit, Jeff, and maybe Brian, you can take this. Do you think, you know, in modern society, that we're becoming more socially acceptable to let our guard down as males? I see that a lot more lately myself in media and even in social media. But do you think that's happening more between those father-son relationships? And do you think that hopefully we're seeing some sort of light in that it's becoming more socially accessible for parents and males to let their guard down and show emotion?
So I'm 60 years old now, 61 to be honest, most men my age were raised in an era where vulnerability was seen as a weakness. Don't cry. Don't show your emotions. Got to be tough. Pick yourself up. And so we learned how to stuff our emotions inside. And I think we're suffering a lot of the effects of that. I think we're seeing an increase in the acceptability for males to be vulnerable. And I think that's a really healthy thing. What I'm not seeing is in those young men who are raised in environments where they don't have a healthy environment with their dad, they are not vulnerable young men. They're trying to overplay their masculinity, hyper-masculinity, and they're learning that from their junior high friends and from media and from music, and that is not taking them in the right direction. So I think what might be happening actually, Adam, is that it's becoming more polarized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I never looked at it from that perspective, because like I said, a lot of times I've seen and people I've talked to, especially on the podcast, it's the opposite. But I think it's because, like you said, it's polarized. It's people that are seeking out this information, or myself, that the reason I started the podcast, because I wanted to be a better parent and a more involved parent and learn from others. Obviously, that's my interest, and that's what the interest of people coming here. And maybe that is a problem, too, even with media, because we can, at our fingertips, pick anything we want to do or see, whereas in, you know, even 10 to 20 years ago, we were stuck with whatever was in front of us at that time. So maybe that is a very valid and great point. Jeff, do you have anything that you think maybe with that whole thing with polarizing, or even just any idea about letting our guards down, is that getting better?
You know, I think it is getting better, and I agree with what you guys are saying, and I think we talked about the polarization of it all. The one thing I want to chime in with saying is, you know, a lot of studies show that even if there's, you know, fatherlessness within the household, you know, gang affiliated areas or lower class or impoverished areas, there needs to be a positive role model in a kid's life. It doesn't need to be a father. It could be a coach. It could be a, you know, boys and girls club director, whatever that is for that kid. There needs to be an outlet, but there needs to be a positive influence. And a lot of times kids get attracted to the wrong type of mentors, which usually then lead to the wrong situations and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me call time out just for a second.
Sure.
I think what might be interesting here is that when I got honest with my family about how off track things had gone, there was a big gap between Jeff and I. And then over time, we began to rebuild that relationship and rebuild that trust. And Jeff, I think, you know, you've talked about that on a number of the other interviews that we've done about how I'd come home from my recovery meetings in the evening. And I just think that's a pretty interesting dynamic that could be helpful for people. So maybe,
yeah,
you know, a question about, well, Jeff, what was that like for you when you were in high school, and how did you and your dad start to move closer together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
No, that is interesting. I mean, to stay on topic is, you know, obviously I'm extremely lucky that I had basketball. You know, like we've talked about before, whether that's basketball or art or music or cooking, you know, podcasts, you have to have some type of outlet. And for me, I was extremely lucky to have something to cope with, I guess, kind of in a way. But it was very gradually, my father and I, you know, we had our talks, and we had day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, we had conversations, very hard conversations about building that trust back up within each other to kind of where it is today. But I think, like anyone, I think we just talked about communication. We learned how to have hard conversations, and we learned how we were awful at it, I guess, as a family, to express our emotions and express how we truly felt, and you know, that's kind of where you have to get to the deep core of issues is communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, there were three things I saw in Jeff. And Jeff was about 14 when all the stuff blew up in our family, and he was really angry at me because I'd been unfaithful, and I hurt my wife and my kids in a terrible way, and he justifiably so. He was angry. He was scared. Because he's like, is my family falling apart? Am I going to have to go to a different school? Are all my friends going to find out about this? So he's afraid. And no 14-year-old wants to admit that they're afraid. And then he was isolated. And those three things, being afraid, being angry, and being isolated, that is a recipe for disaster for an adolescent boy. because like he said, fortunately he went towards sports, but a lot of kids don't. That's when they start acting out with girls or they get involved with gangs or drugs. And so I just, you know, by the grace of God, I started moving into areas of communicating about things that I had never communicated honestly about before. And it helped me become more vulnerable. And over a long period of time, Jeff began to trust me again.
Yeah. And, you know, Brian, it triggered a question, and maybe, and I really think our audience members, there's probably somebody out there that really could use this. How did you find help? Where did you turn? Because it seems like you were able to go to meetings and then you were able to come home and you had some great resources, it sounds like, that you were able to open up and talk and kind of break those barriers down. How did you move into that and find those groups to really start with the healing process?
Yeah. Well, there's three things that happened for me that were helpful. And I think regardless of what a person's issue is, even if it's not my issue, I think there's application here. The first is I got honest. I was wrestling with something that had been bothering me for many years. And I finally got honest. And I was fortunate that there were a couple men in my life that I could go to and be transparent with. And my ability to just say it out loud, you know, was really healing and gave me, courage and permission to move forward. And then I needed help. And so I sought out people who had experience in areas that I didn't. I sought out a counselor. I was fortunate. I found a really skilled counselor who knew a lot about addiction. He knew a lot about family issues. And over time, you know, people who hide things, people who tell, you know, a lot of lies and cover things up, they generally have a lot of pride and a lot of ego. And by getting honest and getting help, a spirit of like humility began to come over me. And so getting help, getting honest, and getting humble was just, if I could just push that into any dad, you know, be honest, get help when you need it, and stay humble, I just think this world would be an immensely better place. And you know, I needed accountability, and part of me having those transparent conversations with Jeff, I just knew that I needed to stay accountable and stay honest about where I was going.
Yeah. And, you know, and those words are just, they're so important, I think, because I think people, they need to hear that. And it's so great. And I'm glad that you're able to share that with our audience, because there might be somebody out there that's struggling with like, I can't do this. But obviously you guys are a success story and you're on to great things and awesome things. So thank you for sharing that. So my question, because I'm going to be a little selfish now, because, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I started this podcast, one, because I'm an educator, but that's what I know. I don't know how to be a parent other than the examples that I've had, which I've had great examples from my parents and people that are around us with family, friends, and uncles and things. But do you think that a lot of the stuff that you talk about in the book with building relationships can be applied to dads and daughters? Because I think that with the advent of a lot of, whether it's polarized or not, there are pockets of folks out there and dads out there that want to get, you know, be more involved and are trying to. So do you think that a lot of the things that you've talked about and a lot of the experiences you've had could be applied to dads and daughters as well?
I absolutely think they can be. And I think that it's not just dads and daughters, it's spouses. It's, you know, it could be anything. And I think it could apply a little bit differently, but at the heart of it all, you know, we talked about the three H's, the honesty, getting help, getting humble, but it just starts with communication. And it, at the core of a majority of the issues, it's because of the lack of hard conversations, not being vulnerable. All these things can be applied to many relationships. For instance, I literally had one of my basketball moms said that she bought the book to hopefully help her and her husband's relationship, which was something I don't think we ever thought about, but it was, you know, it was definitely humbling and a different viewpoint for me as well, you know, just as the author.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both Jeff and I are finding that because we've been transparent about how hard it was for us, it's giving other dads permission to go to someone and talk about their hard stuff. And they're saying, oh, they can talk about that. Well, my situation isn't nearly that bad. I can talk about this as well. And I believe that the hardest day of my life was the most important day of my adult life, and that it, that set me free to continue to work on repairing the relationship. So courage is really important. And Jeff and I both are big believers that failure is in society is often looked at as such a horrible thing, and we have to be perfect in everything that we do. We think failure is awesome. We learn from failure. We grow mm-hmm. from failure. We rarely learn from when we win the tournament or make the winning shot. We learn from preparing to win, and we learn from what we glean from failure.
Right. And some of our biggest accomplishments in history have been off of failure, things that didn't go the way they were planned, or you were looking for something else. So obviously you hit the nail right on the head. So, you know, I have a question, and I ask this one a lot on various different episodes, but I'm going to kind of ask it a little bit different. What would be, Brian, your best advice for hopefully when Jeff becomes a parent that you could give him as a young parent that you wish you would have had that little nugget of information?
When he becomes a dad, I don't want him to make his child the center of the universe for their family. I want him to keep his spouse, his relationship to his spouse, more important than the relationship to his child. And I want him to take care of himself, mind, body, spirit, so that way he can care for his family well. Too many families today, matter of fact, Time Magazine just this week had a feature article about how parents are not doing their relationships any favor by making the child the center of the universe. So I want him to take care of himself and his spouse. And when they do that well, they'll be better parents.
That's amazing advice. Because you do. And we're still in the infancy stages, toddler stages in our house right now. I have a 2-year-old and I have just a 1-year-old. And I'll tell you, they are the world. They take everything out of you. But finding those moments, or even if you have to schedule a date night once every other week or once a month, whatever, you got to do something, because it does. It puts a strain. And then all it is the monotony of that, and the relationship is strained totally. So I can totally agree with you 100% on that. And that's some beautiful advice. So, our other segment that we like to do here on the podcast is things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. So Brian, I'm going to take that one to you first, as things that, you know, something that you can't wait to share with, or have shared, through Jeff's eyes that you wanted him to experience, that maybe you got joy as a child or joy as an adult. And what was that one thing, or maybe it hasn't happened yet, but what is that one thing that you can't wait, or you were really excited to see through his eyes again?
Well, I'm really hoping that Jeff becomes a father, because he's got such a big heart and he has character and integrity, and I just believe he's going to be a great dad. And 15 months ago, I became a grandfather, and I found a spot in my heart that I didn't know I had. It was so powerful. And I just know when Jeff becomes a dad that he's going to find that other spot in his heart. And I'm just really excited for him and his fiance Brooke to have that experience. And the world, I always say to people, kind of jokingly, we're going to make it a better world when good parents have more kids, and those that shouldn't have kids should stop. So I want Jeff to see the world through the eyes of being a father.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And Jeff, I have a question for you. Maybe you can share something with our audiences. What was your favorite moment, that your memory that you've had with your dad that you were just you hold on to, and hopefully can somehow recreate it someday, maybe with a child of your own, or just something that you hold on to that you find, you know, dear to you, that that was just so great that stayed with you?
I'm sure my dad is smiling and he probably knows this answer. It was funny because when we were writing this book, I'm the way we started was just telling stories, typing out any stories you remembered. And a lot of times it was what I remembered, but he didn't, or he remembered, but I didn't. We thought that was interesting, what one person thinks is so valuable, but the other is just another time in passing. But one of our chapters is titled Time Matters. And the story I love to give is the 7-minute story. And, you know, as a young boy, obviously, I was a sports addict and loved to play catch and throw the football and have my dad rebound for me or us play horse. And, you know, time truly mattered when my dad would be out on the grill cooking the burgers or the brats. And, you know, he put on the burgers, and I can vividly remember he had 7 minutes on the timer before he had to flip those burgers. And when he pressed, you know, the start button, I had 7 minutes to bug him to, let's go play catch. Let's go throw the football. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Timer went off. He flipped those burgers. He put 7 more minutes on the clock. And so for me, it was this very important 7 minutes that I had to spend throwing the football, playing catch, scraping knees, you know, pretending I was Michael Jordan, whatever that was. You know, I'm so excited to hopefully be able to do that with my future kids, because it's, again, we talked about, you can't just be there physically, psychologically, and mentally. You have to show that you're there for the right reasons. And it puts a smile on my face just reminiscing, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, and that's a great thing that it shows that there's always that time that you want to have with your child. So guys, before we close out, I want to tell people, have you tell them, where can they find your book Tender Lions, and how can they find you maybe on social media or you know, on and your website or whatever. This is your time to let our audience know how they can find it and how they can find you guys.
Well, very simply, the website is. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, the website is tenderlions.org, and you can find our, you know, our biographies, our email addresses on there. You know, if we want speaking engagements, all that stuff is tenderlions.org. Our book is on Amazon, and all of our social media handles are at tenderlionsbook.
Interested in bulk orders for the book. They can find that on the website, because oftentimes if we're going to speak in an event and they'd like to get a book for every participant, we can arrange that there. So that's it.
Great. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. It was a pleasure. It was a great conversation. I know I learned a lot, and I'm sure our audience did. And I, you know, if you guys have a question for Jeff or Brian, you can email me. You can go to their website, find out more information through them. You know, maybe get them for a speaking engagement, get those books. It is a great resource and great things to look at. But we really do appreciate having you both, Brian and Jeff, on the show today.
No, thank you so much. And when we, you know, I truly am appreciative of what you're doing to try to impact one person at a time.
Yeah, and you guys
great,
as well.
Great to be with you, and good luck on your promoting the importance of fathers and the relationship with their families.
Guys, don't forget the Dad Experience is a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can find the Dad Experience at the Dad Experience podcast on Instagram, or find it on Facebook that way. We are Dad EXP Podcast on Twitter. Email us experienceanddad@gmail.com if you have a question, or have a question for a past guest, or have a show idea, or you yourself want to be on the show. So as always, thanks for joining us on the Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents On Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.